God, it is a real privilege and a blessing to be here again this morning. Invite each of you to continue to worship with us. Appreciate the service thus far. Thought was right up in the end of the Sunday school lesson about the return of the Lord. Peter says, they that look for him, shall he appear the second time. Are you looking for the Lord's return? How precious that will be when we exit this life and go on into the next life. Because heaven will be worth it all. We approach the time of the close of a year, looking at the opening of a new year. What has the Lord in store for us for 2022? We don't know. But as we look back over 2021, what is happening in your spiritual life? What has happened? This verse, the last song that GR led us in, there the second phrase, I think it's the third phrase, lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from his pasture stray. Nor let us from his pasture stray. And verse 2 talks about that we from God may ne'er depart. As I think back over the last number of years and think of men who have left the faith and who are still out in a cold world of sin. So I pray that yet many of those would yet return before Christ comes back. This morning for a message, as we approach the last Lord's Day in 2021, I take you to 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. 1 John chapter 3, 19 to 24. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord, on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. If you want a message title this morning, title it Taking Spiritual Inventory. I want to look at this inventory in three processes, in three areas. We want to first take inventory of what's in our heart. We want to take inventory of our prayer life. And then we want to take inventory of our life. Every so often, businesses take inventory, and especially at the end of a physical year. They count what they have on their shelves. They do this because these companies need to know what is on their shelf when customers call. They need to make sure that they have there the things that will satisfy the customers. And need to know what's there so they know what they can ship out. They need to be sure that they have all their parts on site so that they can manufacture their goods for their customers. Inventory is important. That's what they think is on the shelf is actually on their shelf. If the database tells them that they have three items on the shelf, when in actuality they have none, does not make a happy customer. It's going to be hard to keep customers with that kind of inventory. You may lose a customer because of that. Others won't do any inventory. Instead, they just resolve the conflicts that come up along the way. And they may lose customers. Now, when it comes to our spiritual condition this morning, our spiritual life, and we take inventory of what's in our heart, has an effect on our prayer life and will have an effect on the fruit in our life. And that's why I've chosen those three areas this morning. I believe they fall in concession. We need to step back and simply see where we are at in our walk with God. Where are you at this morning? Where am I at in my walk with God? Where was I back in January of 2021? Where am I at now as we come to the end and the close of 2021? That is taking inventory of your life. This is the inventory that I want to talk about this morning for you all to look at this morning as we look at our own hearts, and I want you to take an inward look. Not at everybody that's around you. But I want to take an inward look into our hearts and just what is there. As important it is for a business to know, it's more important for us to know what's in our spiritual life. What's in my heart? What's in your heart? When it comes to your spiritual condition, it is good for you to know what is on your shelves in your heart. Our heart becomes a warehouse. It has shelves. And we'll look at some of the things that should not be there. Sometimes people have to clean out dead inventory. We'll also look at what really needs to be there in order to have a proper prayer life, in order to have a proper fruitful life for the Lord. And I believe that the last thing in this world that you want is to think that you are of the truth, as the scripture talks about here, when judgment comes and you come up on the scales found wanting. That's the most devastating thing that could ever happen to anyone. It's one thing to lose a customer, but it's one thing to gain the whole world and lose your own soul for all eternity. The rich man who said, "I will tear down my barns and I will build greater barns in order to bestow all my goods." Gain the whole world and lose your own soul. This is exactly what will happen to people on the judgment day who thought they're on the right road, but who were not. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. We're going to come back to 1 John again. We're going to stay there most of the morning. I'm going to bring in a few other scriptures. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They had failed to take inventory. They had failed to take inventory of what's really on the shelves in their heart. They had failed to take inventory of their own soul. And books like 1 John helped to prevent that tragedy from happening. Passages like our text today especially help to prevent this as well. This is our hope today, that we take inventory of our heart and what is really there. When a business takes inventory and discovers that they lack a certain part they need, they can take steps to get it, to get the part on their shelves. Likewise, when you take spiritual inventory of your life and you can clearly see that there's attitudes, there's feelings there that should not be there, we can take steps to get rid of those things that don't belong there. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it tells us to examine ourselves. You know, Paul wrote that to Corinthians. He says, examine yourself. Take inventory of what's in your heart. This is what our text is calling us to do this morning. to test ourselves, to see if we are in the faith, to see if we are of the truth. I believe that the aim of our text is that our hearts would be convinced that we are of the truth. Isn't that what verse 19 is saying? I believe it is. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. God wants us to know. He gives us everything we need here to take inventory of our own heart. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus wants us to know. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Have done together, we appear what we shall be. So today, we are going to take inventory of our heart, our prayer life, and our life itself. And so I'm going to ask you again, are you of the truth? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Are you born again? Friday evening as we were going away, it was getting dusk, and I noticed a neighbor man getting his mail. He starts coming right across the road. As I rolled to a stop, he came to the front corner of my vehicle. He walked back to the side, and he said he doesn't have anything worth living for. He said his wife passed away. We're coming to the time of the year when suicides will normally rise. And I explained to him that this is not the way to get to heaven. He said he wants to go to heaven. He wants his wife is there. He knows. I said, this is not the road you take to get to heaven. I do plan to stop to see him, but on the way home, he did have company, so I believe some of the family might have been there. But this morning, we want to take inventory of what's in our heart. In 1 John 3, in that verse 19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. I believe in 1 John 3:19, by this we will know without any doubt that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts and quiet our conscience before Him. Whether our heart, but when our heart convinces, but when we are convicted of guilt in our life, we must deal with it and get those things out of our shells of our heart that don't belong there. And I believe that this interpretation holds to the entire aim of the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John is to give you comfort, to give you confidence and assurance that indeed you are a child of God. And if not, deal with the things that don't belong in your heart. The ill feelings, and the list could go on. I believe this morning, we should really know in the depth of our heart that we have eternal life. And that's what our God wants us to know. He has everything that we need. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. See what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We serve a God this morning that has the power to save you and has the power to keep you saved. We are of God and have overcome the world, because He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And I believe that the burden is no less right here in our text this morning. John wants us to know and have the assurance in our hearts that we are indeed the children of God. If you are a child of God this morning, then you're going to be showing fruits in your life. We'll get to that at the end of the message this morning. And I believe that one of the greater blessings in this life is a heart that is sure before God, and that knows Him, that loves Him, that experiences the forgiveness, and that He gives in the gospel, and that does not condemn. But that we go forth with a song on our lips, with a message on our heart, to give to the world a message of hope. I believe that the life that lives in confidence before God is a happy life, a well-contented life, a life of contentment. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We can go forth with boldness. Have you ever considered life in the forest? How does a deer live? Very fearful, alert of danger at any moment. They flee at the first noise they hear. They sense with their nose the smell if a human is near. They're living fearfully at all times. But a lion is bold. He walks through the forest in boldness. As Christians today, we can, in the power of Jesus Christ, be bold as a lion. Now this is difficult counsel, because in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And so as you look at your heart this morning, and you consider what's in the warehouse of your heart, know that you will have a tendency, a human tendency, to want to justify the things you do. You will have a tendency to think yourself better than you are, than what you really are. And so we need the Lord's help. As we look at our life and as we take inventory, we need God to help us make sure that the right things are on the shelves of the warehouse of our heart. Because it will hinder your prayer life if there's a lot of wrong things there. And it will produce the wrong fruit in your life. I, the Lord, search the hearts. It's God that tests the mind. So let's seek the Lord's help. Go with me to Psalms 139. And I'd like to ask you, are you fearful to pray this prayer? As the psalmist David did, search me, O God, and know my heart. Are you afraid to let God search your heart because of what might be uncovered? Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can we pray that prayer with confidence and allow God to reveal what's really in our heart? And I trust that we pray that prayer with meaning. Do you have a heart this morning that desires God? Do you want His way to be your way? Do you really believe that Jesus is the Christ? Are you really looking for Him? Are you thinking about all the things you'd like to accomplish yet in life? Have you seen the work of God in your life this past year? Well, we need to move on. Let's move on as we take inventory of your life this morning, asking, are you of the truth? Not only should we look at our hearts, but before we move on, I'd like to go yet to Galatians chapter 4 and just look at the things that we cannot afford to let on the shelves of our heart. I want to read this as the conclusion of the first portion of the message this morning. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 17 to 17 to 32, or to the end of the chapter, rather. All right, it's not the scripture I wanted. Well, it talks about all the things that should not be in our heart. I can't lay my eyes on it right now. But what is in your heart this morning? What's the inventory of your heart this morning? Is it bitterness? Is it envyings? Is it strife? Is it gossip? Is it tail-bearing? All of these things are sin. And we cannot afford to have those things on the shelf of our heart, because it's going to destroy you. It's going to take you away from God. Now let's move on to the second part now in verse 22. You have 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We want to take a look at our prayer life. What is your prayer life like? Your prayer life is going to be evident of what's really in your heart. The idea is this: when our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. We are not fearful of him. Rather, we come to him as one of his children in prayer. And so we know that as we pray, the Lord hears us. We have the assurance that he hears us. But we also know that with iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. The only prayer that he will hear is a prayer of repentance, if there's iniquity in our heart. And he answers our prayers. He answers our prayers according to his will. He answers our prayers with things that are good for us. But he does answer us. And so answered prayer becomes a way to know that we are one of his children. Because as we abide in Christ, chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We have confidence before God because we know that we are his children. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God wants us to have that confidence this morning. And we know that he has our best interest in mind when he answers our prayers. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if his son ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He will give us what is best for us. As parents, we give our children what is best for them. God will answer our prayers, what is going to be best for us. And so we can come to God as his children, seeking him, seeking from him, and he will answer our prayers. Will he answer them just the way we think? Absolutely not. But what is good for us? What is best for us? What experiences have you gone through life in 2020, in 2021? Did they make you better or did they make you bitter? Because not all experiences in life are very pleasant, are pleasing to the flesh. And that's why I'm asking you to take inventory of your life by looking at your prayers. And your prayer life can only be effective if you have the right things in inventory on the shelves of your heart. Are your prayers being answered? Maybe God doesn't always answer your prayer in the time that you think he should answer. And you may ask sometimes, God, where are you? I'm sure the captives in Haiti may have wondered that many times, God, where are you? Please deliver us. God, in a very miraculous way, did deliver them. God does answer your prayer. I remember a time in my life when we were praying for something that just seemed like it wasn't God's will. After we simply submitted ourselves to that, the answer came. God works in that way. He wants to increase our faith. The idea here is that if our heart is not right, if we aren't believing in Christ, if we aren't loving our brother, if we are living in sin, then God is not going to hear and answer your prayer. So that's why it's important that we take inventory of our heart. Or maybe it's because your stock shelves are empty. You're not putting the right things in inventory. In other words, if someone isn't paying attention to the law and is not heeding the law or the counsel, then what right do they have in praying to God? On the other side, Proverbs 15:8 says that the prayer of the upright is acceptable to God. Are we upright this morning? Are we of the truth? I challenge you to take inventory. When you obey God, when you are pleasing God, then you can expect that God is going to answer your prayer. He will hear and answer your prayer in your life, in his timing, and what's best for us. If I would ask you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor of answered prayers in your life, would you have anything to share? I trust you would, because God is answering prayers all the time. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, there's the key, according to his will. What did Jesus say? When he went to the garden, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And finally he said, not my will, but thine be done. And that must be our prayer. And he went on to Calvary. He was there to do the Father's will. So the key is, according to his will. May that be our prayer at every time, praying for God to send someone to you to give you what you want is not the prayer God wants us to pray. But that God would give us what is best for us and according to His will. It's all right to pray for things that God may not give us. The Apostle Paul asked 3 times in Scripture, God, can you just remove this thorn in my flesh? What that was, I'm not sure. God has a plan for our life, and He wants to make us and mold us according to His will. So God is going to allow experiences in your life. I believe God used that thorn in Paul's flesh to keep him humble. God had a plan for Paul's life. He has a plan for yours and mine. God doesn't always remove the mountains, but He says, I'll go with you over that mountain. I'll go with you through that valley. Are you ready to accept God's will for your life at whatever cost it may be? God used the thorn in Paul's life. God uses things in our life to keep us humble, to keep us pliable, to keep us submitted to His will. So the answer may be sometimes to us, when we're praying for something, the answer might be no. And then we need to come to the place where we accept that. And we need to be ready for that. And so I come back to this question. If I would ask you to turn to your neighbor and tell them of answered prayers in your life and what God has done for you, would you have anything to say? Do you know someone, maybe in your life, maybe in your family, of individuals who have left the Lord? As long as they're alive on this earth, we need to keep praying for them. I'd have quite a list this morning of those who have walked away from the Lord. It's right for me to keep praying that God would bring experience into their life that would turn them around. But once life is over, eternity is settled. I believe that parents need to see the importance of prayer for their children, for the lives of their children. Many of you are here this morning in part of life where I once was, where you're into the heat of raising a family, the challenges that come. There's times of joy, there's times of sorrow. But I believe that unless you spend enough time on your knees for your family, for each other as spouses, we'll not be prepared. In order to be successful in praying, you must have the right inventory in your heart. I emphasize that over and over again. Pray for yourselves and your children, and don't become weary in the battle. Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Take a few moments this morning to think on how God has answered many prayers in your life and thank Him for that. And if you can't answer this question, that's okay, but let it be a rebuke to you to keep in mind and to be alert, because God is answering prayers every day of your life. I want to come to the close of this message this morning, yet looking at your life. If the inventory of our heart is right, our prayer life is right, then we're going to be bearing the right kind of fruit. We are going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verses 23 and 24 in our text this morning. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, and love one another as He has given us commandment. That is a proof of discipleship. And it doesn't mean when loving goes good, but it means even in the trying times of life. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. This morning, obedience and love, obedience to God, love toward one another is something that must be a fruit in our life. Love is the center of it all. Love of God and love for each other. Because this is where life with God begins. It begins with repentance. It begins with a faith in God. It begins when you see sin as God sees it. And when you confess those sins and you experience salvation, that's where it begins. Jesus is the one that can cleanse our hearts. Confessing our sins to God expresses belief in Jesus. That we believe we can experience forgiveness of sin. We also see the concept that when John speaks about those who deny Jesus, denial is the opposite of faith, which accepts him and believes in him. When we were at Shepherd's Fold, there was a motto on the social hall wall that said, "Denial is not a river in Egypt." Chapter 2, 1 John speaks of knowing him. Keep his commandments. Whosoever says, "I know him," but if we don't keep those commandments, we are a liar. And the truth is not in us. If we say we know him and we don't keep his commandments. And we will come up at the judgment day, found wanting. It emphasizes right here in our text this morning in verse 23. And so I ask you again, do you believe? Do you realize that God has commanded you to believe and to love? We must believe. And when we believe, we're going to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And we obey him willingly. Who thus hopes in him, purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. John makes this very clear. Are you in the truth? Look at your heart. Look at your prayers. Look at your life. And take inventory. Go with me yet for in closing to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. To the end of the chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. As you looked at your heart this morning, what is there? Here's the things that should be on the shelves of your heart. It will help to make your prayer life what it needs to be and will produce fruit that others can see that Jesus lives within you. Shall we pray?